Okay, well, as we know, here in Colchester, we have many, many creative talents, and the usual routes for going into those and for showcasing these skills tend to have been fairly mainstream, so perhaps at the Mercury, the Arts Centre, the Minories, or even First Sight. Wonderful places though they are. But what is starting to emerge, I think, around the town is with lots of new technologies that are available, people are starting to realise that there's pretty much a DIY ethos, so you can do things yourself, and if you've got a creative skill, if you want to support people, then you can make it happen rather than sit around and perhaps wait for people to come to you, which is what really excites me with a couple of guests that I've got to explain about, I think, a really great project. And so the project is Frequency Theatre, and in a nutshell, I think a definition would be it's going to be presenting and helping to create online theatre, online audio right here in Colchester. So I need to find out a bit more. I've very kindly got some time with Beth and Rich, who are involved heavily in Frequency Theatre. So let's start off first. So that's been my rough working definition. Can we find out a bit more, please? So what is a frequency with a bit more added onto it?
Yeah, so Frequency Theatre is a project where we are going to record 10 to 15 minute new writing plays. They're self-contained stories. Every play is new. And we've asked members of the community to act in our plays. And also to direct as well. And we also have some people involved in the technical aspect of the project as well. And what we'll do is one play a week, every week, for as long as we can, basically.
And the idea for getting these pieces of audio, these plays out for people to listen to, we mentioned it's online audio, so that will all be online based in the form of podcasts, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. It will be. We're going to put them out on iTunes as podcasts, but also we'll have them on our website. We're going to post the new plays every week with hopefully some interesting articles of a feature or so, telling you a little bit about the process that we do, maybe something about the particular play, just a little bit more information, because I think that, fingers crossed, hopefully, people will want to know a little bit more and hopefully like to be involved. We'd like to have a huge pool of people who would like to be involved to come and join us, really, and to meet us. It'll be really nice to have a bit of a networking opportunity, as well as making some really interesting, great pieces of drama.
I think there's many levels to this that really fascinate me. There's the online side of it, and also the idea of the locality of it, and so working with local people. Let's talk about the online side of it first. And so my observation is this is quite a back to the future approach to online audio. If you think back to the days of the first drama that came out, in the days before TV, and with your tuxedos on, which we're all wearing here this morning, the kind of grand old days of BBC broadcasting, the Archers, you know, online audio or radio audio, that was the whole roots of this. And we've seen it come full circle where we've got guys like you, Frequency, here in Colchester, who can do this using the technology. So is there maybe obviously a love of theatre, but also a love of spoken word and audio?
Well, I think that that Beth, you had a lot of kids stories that you loved to listen to when you were very young, and that was a real part of what drove you into wanting to do this project.
Yeah, going back to what you were saying about it coming full circle, is it's basically an area of theatre which hasn't really developed. I mean, everything else has developed. I mean, obviously, stage theatre has moved on throughout the centuries. Film is getting more and more developed in its various ways. Audio seems to have got a little forgotten. I mean, we had the radio, but and then after that, it's kind of fallen away a little. I mean, Radio 4 is excellent in its own way, but it isn't necessarily moving on.
Experimenting,
yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah.
We're looking at doing, I mean, it's plans that we have in the works for quite a few times, but we just recorded quite an experimental piece, really, with overlapping, and we wanted to see what we could do with stereo and hearing the voices and what that would add to the drama. Not just purely that it's a technique of knowing where people are standing, but what would that, as a dramatic device, add? I've also spoken to someone about if we could create a musical theatre audio play, not necessarily a stage recording of a musical, but to kind of see how that would work. And we have someone which is going to record a verbatim play, a documentary type story, which he's been working on. So it's lots of little different projects that we have, which hopefully that we can try. That means that, I mean, Radio 4 do some fantastic things. We do absolutely love them. And we're just looking to experiment and to use this as a platform where you can take some risks as well, which is what we really love about what we've got here.
And is a medium of doing drama via audio, does that present different challenges to the actors involved? And is it a skill that maybe might have been forgotten or hasn't even been taught for the current generation of people involved in this, that they're so used to the visual element?
Well, we had to teach ourselves a lot of things. We both work at the Mercury Theatre, and we were chatting to David Tarkenter, who's one of the regular actors there, and it's been very one of many people that have been very supportive of what we do. And he gave us a lovely chat about different techniques that an actor has to think about, because he has quite a radio background on his CV. Lots of different things you have to consider. It's not purely about diction, but about remaining involved in the scene. It's about thinking distances, placement of microphones, rehearsing who does what, and on the use of the sound equipment, on the props and things like that. And it was fantastic, and we used a lot of those techniques in a workshop that we had before we properly started recording. We got a lot of people who were interested in the room, and we played some games, and we asked them to think about things exactly which are different from performing on stage. How would you tell a story in a soundscape? How do you set the scene? Distances that you have with a microphone? How do you remain engaged with the fellow performer whilst really you're still looking down at a script? Lots of great things like that, really. It's been very, very helpful.
So let's also perhaps explore a bit about the locality of it, the hyperlocal angle. So being based in Colchester, the online distribution model is endless. You can go out worldwide, people can access the plays that are being recorded by Frequency, but you're also keen to work with talent in Colchester, both from an acting point of view, perhaps a production point of view. Is that something which you're being able to tap into and find people to work with?
We have been very fortunate. We were looking at a number of places to actually run our project, and a friend pointed us the direction of Slack Space, which of course we were very aware of, but we just sort of didn't really know about the possibilities there, really. So we went in there, and we didn't have any recording equipment. We didn't really know how we were going to do it, but we had this idea of what we wanted to do, and we had in mind that we were going to buy all this equipment ourselves. And I have a friend of mine who's a rocket scientist and also has a passion in music, so he's an engineer, but he's got a very musical family. And I said to him, right, well, could you have a think about constructing some sort of portable recording studio type thing, basically a tent with lots of padding on it? Thank God we didn't go down that route. But we arrived, it was, oh God, it would have been a nightmare having to lug this thing around that just looked horrendous, and then having to rehearse and record in it. It looked terrible, just the idea of it. So, but we arrived at Slack Space, and we said what we wanted to do, and instantly we met Chris Clark there, who's very important at Slack Space, and instantly he pointed us in the direction of Tom Hardy, who has held our hand through the entire thing. And Tom immediately said, oh, well, I'm building a recording studio upstairs. You can use that if you like. And we're like, oh, right. And he says, yeah, I've got the equipment. Yeah, it's all right. And we're like, okay. And we don't know how to use it. He says, oh, well, I'll teach you. It's fine. You know, I'll come along for the first few or whatever. So instantly we've gone from losing our stupid hypothetical rocket scientist made tent and gone to a pretty good studio, a really good studio actually. It's far exceeds our needs. It's a really fantastic space, and I would suggest any bands that are looking for somewhere to record to go there and to talk to them, because it's a really great setup that they've offered, and they've been really generous and helpful with little tweaks. I mean, we're not making excessive demands, we're not asking for a trailer or anything like that, but little things that would be ideal, that they've just kind of, oh, we'll change it like this, we'll do it like that. So I'm not the first one to say this, but Slack Space is just incredible. It's such a blessing to have that in Colchester.
So it's also been a learning experience for you. So you've been quite blessed with this ready-made studio. Yeah. But I know you mentioned that as part of the work that Frequency is doing, you're very keen for this to be seen as also as a learning chance for anybody in Colchester that thinks they've got something to contribute, perhaps.
Well, I think Beth's had to learn quite a lot on the technical side of things.
I'm not a born technician, certainly. I was the one out of the two of us who had a little bit more experience in sound and editing, that kind of world. So, yes, it's been very much learning on the job, which has been great. Also, quite scary at times.
Yeah, but we should also mention John as well, our BBC technician. We have a guy who works for the BBC Radio who's come in and gave us the thumbs up on what we were doing, and he's helped you as well. So
yes.
But we also have Crystal as well, who is a technician at the Mercury Theatre, who's taught us. But it's one of the things that we're a little bit too fortunate, because our editing software. What's our editing software called?
Logic Pro.
Logic Pro is basically too good. It's the professional's use, best of the best. If you could have sort of anything in the world, you'd have that. And we don't necessarily need it. We don't know how to use it, but we're getting better. I think it's a steep learning curve, but we've got some plays edited already, haven't we?
Yeah.
And they sound well. We like them.
Yes. Yeah, so I know it's fairly early days for you, and you're just really finding some interest and seeing people to work with. But you mentioned you have got some plays already, and so you are actually recording and producing plays right here in Colchester. Can we perhaps talk about what's been recorded and some of the ideas in those plays, who you've been working with?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have our first play, which we'll be debuting, is a play called Discord, which is something I've written. Basically, is a way to get the ball rolling, really.
Our aim is to not have the same writers in house, but to use a large range of writers. But as initial material, while we were still advertising to writers for writers, we've used perhaps a larger amount of plays from people we know than will be in the future.
Yeah. It's definitely something we want to explore. I have a background in script reading, and I interned at the Hampstead Theatre on their script reading department. So accepting scripts, reading them, giving necessary feedback if it's required, and basically seeing the potential of a script, and then seeing that we have the possibility to enhance that with the directors and the performers that we are in contact with. So a lot of it is seeing what's on the page or what it could be. And it's something that I really loved, and it's something that I also did this at the Mercury for about a year. I did script reading for them, and it's something I wanted to get more into, but it's a bit challenging with this harsh artistic economic climate that we're in. So what we wanted to do is we've sadly had less writers than we wanted because we're starting off, but absolutely
it's growing.
We've had a huge burst. We've advertised at Arts Hub and things like that, and we've had huge reams of scripts, and just more and more, because it's absolutely what we love. We want to give more and more writers opportunities, from regardless of where they are and what their what their experience is.
So I mean, we've had a couple of your plays very serious, which is, I think, is representing the more serious and austere side of our writing, which they're lovely plays. They're very thoughtful, and we've had a lot of feedback like, "Oh, that was a very chewy script," one person said. We've also had we're trying to obviously make people entertained as well. There's a local young woman called Daisy Jones. She's an aspiring stand-up comedian, and she's written one of our plays, which is The Misadventures of Shirley Holmes and Joan Watson. I should stress that the script was written before
the American TV
show was announced, which we were like, a little bit of telepathy going on there, but never mind. So we have that, and that is, I find it hilarious, and we had a great time recording that. It's great fun doing comedy like that. We had a really nice cast of people. So there's that. What else do we have? As I say, we have the experimental play we did a little while ago. That it has a religious bent to it, just sort of exploring different people's views on religion in a more experimental format. What else do we have? Tomorrow we're going to be recording a couple of plays, one of which is a kind of, I don't know, you called it a Frank Capra-esque.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely a wonderful life bent to it, really.
Yeah.
It's very... Both our plays tomorrow we're recording are both lovely. They're both sort of...
Well, I don't know. I mean, we've... The one I'm talking about...
They're not
about
bad, sorry.
The more Capra-esque one, it's called Glad You're Here. And it's... I think it's although we've been treating it as quite a light play in comparison to some of the other ones we've done, it's a little bit about what's going on today, tough economic climate and all the rest of it, but why things are still worth carrying on with. And then the other one is a very gentle play. It's called The Watchmaker, but it's got a little bit of a scary jolt at the end. It's a very reflective... a very reflective play.
Yeah, it's very chatty and gentle, and you think that it's going to be one thing, and you kind of sink into your chair like it's Sunday afternoon and you've just watched Last of Summer Wine, and then it's kind of got a, oh, that was, it's a sort of, makes you a little burst of a, oh, something to think about. We should also say that Beth's directing Glad You're Here in her directorial debut.
Yes, not something that was planned, unfortunately, but yes I will be.
So it's a good thing you've got such a clear vision, really.
Yes.
And you mentioned that you're recording a play tomorrow, so what's the process like? So these are going to be fairly short forms of audio, perhaps 15-20 minutes or so. Does it take 15-20 minutes to record this, or is it an all-day production process?
Yeah, it's a 2 hours. We spend about 2 hours rehearsing each play. It does depend on the director, but what we do is we allow that time to sort of have a little rehearsal grotto, which is just off the recording space, and then in there they sort of sit and discuss this play. Each director does it differently. We don't really have a set way of them doing that. It's just we let them have fun, and then what we do is we spend probably about 2 hours recording for a 10 to 15 minute play. It means everyone, we could do plenty of takes on everything we want to do. And then it's the editing, sadly, that takes the longest, just getting rid of all the little ums and sniffs and things like that,
being very, very polished.
Yeah, and adding the sound effects as well. I mean, if we can do them there and then, obviously we do, but some things we can't really, with no money, no budget, we can't sort of buy all the things that maybe a professional production would be able to do in-house. So we add all those things later. So really it's the editing, just sort of long days going on for a few weeks. So we sort of have generally about six plays in the bank in advance of, that's our general aim, really. It gives us enough time to edit, and if we do need a little bit of a cushion, then we can.
So that's really quite a significant time input, and I think we're being quite transparent here. So if we just explain and confirm about money and funding and stuff, what I think is really to be applauded and what excites me is this is pretty much just purely for the love of doing audio plays here in Colchester, and so you've got a tremendous time input taking place. The technology we've mentioned, you've been blessed with slack space, and the technology makes things quite simple, but this is not at the moment a commercial proposition.
No.
I said with some hesitancy, but I know, I think we can feel from your conversations, Rich and Beth, this is quite a love of what you're doing at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Sadly, we don't make any money. It's not something which we're looking to sort of, it's never a $1 million idea. It's never something which is going to, mean where you can retire from. But it is an absolute love. I mean, we, going back to what I was saying about the job situation, I mean, it's very hard to have sort of mobility, especially if you've got a little bit of experience, but maybe actually never done the job which you're looking to do. I mean, I've done some script reading, but I've never been an administrator in a literary department, which would be something I'd really love to do. But it's a matter of seeing that there's not a lot of mobility for our careers, and we want to make contribute to the arts, even if it's difficult with the landscape that we're in.
What a wonderful ethos. And so you're sort of really keen to do things, and rather than sit around and wait for things to come to you, just if the technology's there, then go out yourself and make things happen, which, yeah, is to be applauded.
Well, thank you. It's a matter of it is a very long, tiring process. There's a lot of extra hours we put into it, but really, if we sit around, nothing's going to happen. And we want to tell these stories. We want to do things. So you can't wait for everything, and you can either sort of moan and grumble that we're in a recession, or you can just try and make it for the love of what you do. And
frankly, I find it ridiculous that we're setting this up, purely because I always said I'd never set anything up, theatre company wise. But it's something which I had thought about for a very long time, and no one else, or very, very few people, and the people who are doing stuff similar to this aren't doing it in quite the same form. It's something which is just so underdone, and it's something which I can't quite understand why more people aren't doing it. So it was kind of irresistible in a way.
And I think here in Colchester, with us having the Mercury and the Arts Centre and First Sight, and we've not mentioned the Lakeside Theatre at the University, so for such a relatively smallish town, it does punch above its weight in terms of live arts. So hopefully if this online model can work anywhere, it can work in Colchester. Let's get some plugs in. So we mentioned about Frequency Theatre. Very early days for you guys, but if people want to take this a bit further and perhaps contact you, so some websites, sort of Twitter, email addresses, yeah, and all that, please.
Yeah, so www.frequencytheatre.co.uk. On Twitter, we're at Frequency Plays. And our email address, so if you've got any interest in being involved, or you want to know a bit more, or anything like that, we check it all the time. It's frequencytheatre@hotmail.co.uk.
And I guess that's quite an open book, so you're just really welcome for any emails, any thoughts, any ideas. People in the town who want to perhaps work with you, if they've got some suggestions, or if they've got just a passing interest in what you're doing, which is unique for Colchester, and you know, possibly unique for elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this project can be lots of things. I mean, we're interested in lots of ideas, really. Who knows where it can go, really? Hopefully, it can last as long as possible.
Okay, so that's been Rich and Beth from Frequency Theatre. As the guy says, so Google them, look around at Frequency, see what's online. Do step forward with ideas, and thank you for your time. And I wish you well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.